I want to just pray and then. So, Father, we thank you, God, for today. We thank you for just your goodness to us. As we've already noted, just even the rain falling on this land and all that just provides for life and that we need, and just the ways that you care for us day in and day out, and you provide what we need, and we just thank you. Acknowledge your hand. Every good and perfect gift has come from above, from your hand, and we don't take it lightly or for granted. And Father, we pray you'd just speak to us today and be glorified in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I am in James chapter 2, it talks about how mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And, so don't show anything up there right now. But I just felt needed to kind of talk a little bit about what happened this week, that kind of significant. And I do believe that God is showing he's having mercy on this country. Yes. You know, how many think we deserve it? No. We don't deserve it, no. But he's having mercy. He's expressed mercy, and it's really interesting how things go. You know, people will complain how, you know, they prayed about something for a long time and God didn't answer their prayer. And whenever you're tempted to think that, or you run into somebody, you should ask them, probably all of us are parents or close to whatever, has any parent ever given their child everything they want every time they ask, exactly when they want it and how they wanted it? Did you do that because you don't love them? Do you do that because you're a mean, self-centered? No, does it mean you don't pay? No, you as a parent, you know more than your child could possibly know. I mean, it's a good request, but not happening this way. Not happening now. And God is, and it's more than significant that when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he started it with our Father, not our God or our Master or what, our King, but our Father. He is a Father. And we could talk about the shenanigans that went on 4 years ago and just the this concern. I don't want to get all in the weeds and all that. I could, you know, I could. And they're weeds. But, I mean, there was such intercession going on for weeks. I mean, you say high-level prayer and intercession going on. And yet, and then we end up with this dystopian looking inauguration day with just these sparse peoples kind of spread out on this Capitol with this black fence around the Capitol building. And what are we, some kind of like end of the world kind of movie? What's going on here? This, you know, and so many things. And yet, without going through all the details, that now, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. And see, you know, things would have been really different had that been fixed, because we know now the data is there. It's clearly that it was stolen in 2020, and God let it happen. How could he do that? You know, what happened to these 11 million voters who all of a sudden appeared 4 years ago in this population, and now they're gone again? What, you know, all these things? But God has a plan. And he's clearly, I just want it, that he is hearing our prayers in this nation. That his, that and I'm not, yeah, I just, that we have reason to have a little bit of hope. And there's a lot of other pastors and better preachers than I'll ever be who are saying these same things. But we do have reason to have hope right now. And we have reason to have hope for our children and grandchildren's generation. But this is the last thing we should do is sit back and go like, whew, got that done. This is the time, talking to Keith this morning, he suggested to me, reminding of the whole prohibition, and I wasn't around at that time. I don't know if anybody else here, but your father, Keith, shared that his father felt that was really a good thing. They got prohibition passed. You know, if you're not familiar, you know where they made America. It was illegal to have alcohol, sell alcohol, and thought that was great. And the Christians thought we won. You know, and this is right after. Right after World War. All right. So anyway, so this great, you know, we did it, we got it, number one, it didn't last, and it actually created more problems than anything. But the point that Keith was making and sharing, and that we have to learn right now, the thought was, we got it, it's a law, great. In fact, it became part of the Constitution. It was an amendment to the Constitution, not just some executive order from the president. This was on the Constitution, and it just a matter of time was overturned. And a lot of suggestion that they those who were pushing for that just kind of like thought they were done. And so we have an opportunity to see America, at least to some extent, return to some of the biblical principles that have founded this nation. And we have an opportunity to see our government, the mammoth monster that is our federal government, actually have some limbs cut off. I mean, we need to see that, you know. We also have the opportunity that there could be some really, really bad actors who have had their way, who are entrenched deep in the dark bellies of the beast, that their time could be limited. And we need to pray and believe God for these things to happen. We're not going after people. We're going after a corruption that is at the core, that is really a lot of... I'm not saying they're worshiping the devil, although I'm confident that there are some elected members of Congress and that do actually do that. I'm not saying they all do. I'm just saying, but there is a very demonic element that has been is in the very fabric of that dark part of the unelected part of our government that seems to have its way. And we have an opportunity, if the church will get serious about seeking God, pleading the blood of Jesus over this nation, repenting for our sins, and throwing away our silly little unnecessary divisions between believers, and begin to unite, that God might truly pour out his spirit on this land. He would expose the wickedness that has been corrupting this place and call to account the people who've been doing it, and in his mercy he could wake some of them up if they have the chance, and they'd be actually turn and serve Christ and oppose the stuff that they were. I mean, God could do some powerful things if we will continue to seek him with all of our heart. And I do believe that that's really our job, as we cry out to him, as we commit ourselves in this way, that his mercy is going to try over the judgment that's hanging over this nation. You know, to think that we're done because talk about a mandate. I mean, this election was clearly a choice to return to our Constitution, to return to the foundations that we believe in. It was less about a man than it was about getting back to what this nation was made to be and what it had been at one time. Amen? And just that there's only one guy out there who had the courage to stand up and take the bullets, literally the bullets, and the lawfare and the slander. Who would do that? Of all the people, they want to call him a narcissist. A narcissist would not put yourself through that when you already have worldwide name recognition and fame already. You have all the wealth you could ever ask for. I mean, how many of you have seen pictures of his the top of Trump Tower, you know, his palatial home up there, you know, with gold, all this, and you're overlooking Central Park. And then he has Mar-a-Lago, which is a historical, you know, He had no need for any of this, and what? And yet he's still going after that after they've ruined him. He's the only politician that went into office and came out poorer than when he came in. And somehow, this crass guy who calls people's names and talks way much longer than he should, you know, talks about himself too much too, you know, about if I was there, it wouldn't have happened. Well, you're right, but we've heard that 25 times already. Can we just move on? You know, he's got so many imperfections, and yet he has a determination and an ability to actually respond to God and see that, hey, this is wrong. This has to be made right. That God raise up this crass billionaire real estate mogul who loves his country more than he loves his comfort. And he's not a Nazi. He was never a Nazi. He was never a racist until he ran for office. He got awards from black civil rights leaders left and right for all the great works he did for blacks and all the Democrats, the ones that I want to call them terrible names, the ones that you would know their names, you know, they were courting him and saying he's a great guy and he should run for office and all these, you know. So that's enough of that. We do have an opportunity that World War III has been postponed because of the foolishness in the White House, wanting to cede our sovereignty to the UN, the World Economic Forum, and the World Health Organization, digital currency, all these things. God has had mercy upon us that the globalists have been put in check for right now. And we have a chance to actually become energy independent and not be destroyed by this hoax of global warming that has no scientific, true scientific basis. Now, you might be upset when I say that, but I wouldn't say that here if I didn't know that to be true. Because you just see it. If the enemy doesn't really have a platform to stand on, so he's got to make you afraid. To make you afraid, so you then believe what he says to get you out of your problem. That's what this whole campaign was by the other side. This selected candidate was that Trump was a Nazi. We're all Nazis. I was very tempted to wear a garbage bag into service just last week, but I didn't. Because also I represent Jesus, not Trump, but these kind of things. But this idea that it has to make you afraid. Global, this whole global warming. They don't call it that because it's not. The Earth is not warming. Actually cooler than it was. You just got to go back far enough and recognize it's actually cooler than it's been and all these things. So, but the point is, you can't stand on your record, which this past administration could not, you have to make everybody else afraid and demonize the person that actually has the answers. And because it's just about wanting to have power. You want to have control. And we cannot allow ourselves to walk in fear. And that's not just in this political climate, but I mean just in your life. We can't allow the fear to rule us, right? You get a diagnosis from the doctor that you didn't want. Fear is your greatest enemy, right? What president was it that said? Was it we have nothing to fear but fear itself, right? Right, because we have a God who's bigger than all these things. We just sang about him, right? And we don't have to know how it's going to happen, and it may not always turn out the way we want it, but I serve a God who is always with me and is greater than anything that could ever come my way. Amen? So we don't need to walk in fear as believers. We don't need to walk in fear in this world. We don't need to be afraid of those who want to oppose us and call us names or Christian nationalists or Nazis and try to demean your character. Just because you believe in Jesus and you vote in a conservative way, we don't need to walk in that kind of fear. We don't have to please people. We're just here to please God, right? And as we live that way, I'm here to please God, and then my desire, I've said this many times if you've been here, but that our ultimate, I believe, our ultimate destiny is that God gets glory out of our lives. So that doesn't require prosperous stuff, you know, like something. Well, God wants to prosper you, and I believe He does. But prosper you so that He can get glory out of your life. How many know that God probably gets more glory out of people's lives when they keep trusting in Him in the darkness, amen, when the trouble comes, and yet they don't collapse. They keep walking with God. And then, of course, with time, then God steps through and brings them through for His glory. Amen? That we are here that God might get glory out of our lives. But likewise, at this moment that we are here for really a purpose, we find out, God, what does You want me to do? What's our role in our nation today? That's kind of, we've talked about that a lot, but that there are things that need our God's attention, if you will. But let me just say one more thing to encourage you as well. That not only was this the first time since the first time that the elected president, especially a Republican, a conservative, actually won the popular vote as well as the Electoral College vote, that was huge. The huge increase in the black vote going toward them, the huge, even larger of the Hispanics going towards the conservative wave. Even the number of Democrats who said, like Reagan said years ago, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party left me. There's a movement awakening among Americans. You know, like in New Jersey, for example, in 2020 compared to 2020 to 2024, there's the shift of moving towards more conservative values, moved 10 points. From what it was 4 years ago. In Illinois, it moved 9 points towards, if you want to say red. In New York, it moved 12 points, right? If you look at California, it's about 5, but about half the state is red now on the counties, where it was barely a third at, you know, just 4 years ago. I mean, something is truly happening because people are waking up, and I believe they're waking up because the body of Christ is waking up and recognizing we have got to be light and we've got to be salt. This low-sodium Christianity has got to go away, right? Right? We got to recharge our batteries and get that light going, right? And And to not be afraid. I believe the sense that there are more and more pastors who, like I did some years ago, just like, I've had enough of this hiding. I'm not going to be ashamed anymore. We need to speak up about the issues, right? Because the atheists are, the Marxists are, the socialists are, the godless are. They're in the middle of the whole thing, helping to write policies and create laws. And we're not there because, well, we can't get involved in politics. Well, who's to blame for the mess we're dealing with in the curriculum in our schools? And again, every statewide elected office in Washington State is run by a leftist liberal. They just got elected. I believe God can turn that around. And I believe, and in fact, I just felt that night, I sent this thing on that Wednesday morning to this pastor's prayer group in Spokane that I pray with online. What if we, between now and the end of the year, began to fast and pray and intercede for Bob Ferguson, who's going to be the new governor, extremely leftist, and the Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, and the various statewide offices, begin to really pray for God to move upon this land and move in their hearts? Do you think God might actually hear us? I believe He would, and that we could believe that, and we could speak blessing on them, not curses. You know, we could, but the kind of blessing that says, "Wake you up to the deception you've been walking in." Wouldn't that be great? right? They elect a leftist, and by the time he gets in the office, he's found Christ and woken up to what's true, and our Saul has become Paul. I mean, let's not think that God can't do anything. He can do whatever he wants. But he always looks to his people to partner with him through prayer and whatever activity or participation that is put before us. That I believe that God could do some great things. That this state, how many you think is just hopeless? Washington State is hopeless. Oregon is hopeless. California is hopeless. I believe that there's God is moving. But he's asking us, the way you prayed for this election, you need to be praying right now for these next 4 years. How about for the next 2 months for Washington State? And I want to challenge you on that. And that's why we're not canceling our Tuesday night prayer and going to a Bible study. We probably will at one point. But right now, listen, we need to be seeking God and interceding for this state, this region, and our nation more than ever before. But we, you know, be encouraged to see the things that are happening that are really upsetting the people on who've got their TV show that with their audience growing like this, as people just see how foolish they are and they scream and holler and call everybody else Nazis and stuff. Here's a lesson. Here's a lesson. One lesson from this election. You got all those who wanted. Were sure that lady was going to win, the selected lady was going to win. And of course she didn't, not at all. In fact, it was a devastating defeat, overwhelming mandate. But they're saying, I know why, because all of you are Nazis. Or you guys, you don't want a woman president. That's it, just because you hate women. Especially not a black woman, although she was an Indian woman when she went into the Senate. She was saying, I'm the first Indian American, you know. Now she's a black woman. She is both black, but she's not from Africa. She's from, her dad was Trinidad or Jamaica, thanks, Jamaica, right. So, and that's fine, you know. You're hateful and you're ignorant. The problem is, part of me wants to go like, you just keep thinking that because you'll never figure it out if that's what you think, because that's not why we voted the way we did. We saw the flaws of the orange man. But we understand there's something bigger. There are policies. That's what changes things, right? We wanted our Constitution back. We wanted to get the boys out of the girls' locker rooms, right? We wanted decency to return. We wanted... How about safe cities again, right? We want a safe and secure border. We want the rule of law to stand up once again at our southern border and our courts of law. We want the executive branch to be put in check and not use the agencies against their political opponents. We would like to see accountability in our courts. We would like to afford the gas we put in our cars and our kids, grandkids, to be able to buy a house with reasonable mortgage rates and all of these, that's what we want, and they don't get it, and so they're out demonizing people and bringing more division because they choose not to look in the mirror and see what was really happening. And think about this: how many times have we had problems in our life, and yet we refuse to face the reality of how we caused the problem ourselves? We're just pointing those people out there. If they hadn't done that, and yet God is trying to get your attention, there's something inside of you I want to fix. But we want to throw it off. We want to dismiss the conviction of God by saying, no, it's not me, it's them. I've had my own experience with that. Hard to believe, I'm sure. You know, because pastors are perfect. We come from a whole different mold. Mold might be the right word. No, I said pastors are sheep. We're just silly sheep like anybody else. But and I shared this thing, and I've mentioned our time in a church in Maine. It was the most formative time in my life. When we left Maine, I knew I went. That's when I was at pastoral ministry training, because we had to face some just difficult things. And there was a lot of shenanigans that went on by older Christians who should have known better. And it was easy for me to see what they were doing, and because it was pretty blatant. But we weren't there quite 4 years, and we had come back, and I was a big rookie FedEx driver for 2.5 years. And I was just feeling the whole thing like, what a failure I am, and driving home. I was driving home from, I was just in the first 6 months of being back, that we came back to the Seattle area. And I'm not kidding you, it was like a door in my mind opened up, and all of a sudden God showed me, yeah, they did some nasty things to you, but why don't you now look at yourself, maybe for the first time? And I began to see things. God orchestrated some events and that helped me see somebody else saying the same things from the pulpit that I had said. And all of a sudden I began to see myself, and I didn't want to see myself, but I recognized it wasn't all their fault. That I had messed some things up. I had responded poorly, you know, and that's what's happening. That kind of thing is happening right now. We can't allow that to happen to us. When in the things in our life, whatever it might be, there's trouble. God is saying, all right, you know, can't take care of them, but I want to do something inside of you. But you've got to be able to see yourself as I see you. And admit to the struggles, the weaknesses you've done, the doubts, the fears, the wrong judgments you've might made, whatever it might be. God is saying, you can't act like those people out there, those ladies behind that table who think they know everything. At a show that fewer and fewer people are watching now in the afternoon. Who want to blame everybody else and, you know, and don't recognize what's happening in America and what we really want. That God says, I want you to see yourself too, because it's for your good. Just imagine if these who are out there, you know, accusing Trump and conservatives of these terrible things, what if they actually woke up and they began to see the truth themselves? What would happen in America? It'd be marvelous, wouldn't it? And it's the same thing in us. I mean, it was a painful thing for me to have that awakening. No, thank you, God, you know. But it helped me learn how to deal with it. And then the next step, it took a few years, but and other things that have happened, the other trials we've had, you know, you can't be in a church very long and not hit a few speed bumps, and it's usually the person sitting a few rows away from you, you know, or, you know, it could be somebody you were trusted and then they turn on you and those kind of things. That just happens, right? But the things that the God wants it to use to change you, the question that came to me as we were actually not was given to me as we were sharing frustrations about life and ministry over the years, is that what if you approach it like this? No matter how innocent you are, and nobody's innocent completely, but as innocent you are, say, you know, God, what are you wanting to shape inside of me through this? And if that can become how, when that issue comes up, instead of about wanting to be angry about what so-and-so did, you shift your focus, say, God, okay, well, what are you wanting to shape inside of me? How do you want me to become better? What are you trying to make me to be that I'm not? And you'll grow. Just think about when the last chapter of the Gospel of John, and of course Jesus has been resurrected, and they've seen him a few times. And of course, this is the second time they went out fishing all night, didn't catch any fish. They came in, Jesus on the shore, didn't recognize him right away. Hey, catch any fish? No. Throw your net on the right side and all the fish and that whole thing. And then Jesus restores Peter, you know, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep and that. And then the last things, Peter's with Jesus, and then he looks and it says, Peter then looked and saw the disciple Jesus loved, right? He says, well, what about him? Because Jesus had just told Peter, a day's going to come, you're going to stretch out your hands, and somebody's going to take you where you don't want to go. Speaking about he would die for Christ. And so he says, well, what about him? And he said, what does it matter if I want him to stay until I come back or not? You follow me. Right? That was the call. Doesn't matter. You can't control them anyway. It doesn't matter. You follow me. And I believe that that's what God is saying. I want you to follow me. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to learn the lesson that's happening out there, that we are not going to close our eyes to ourselves. Amen? And say, God, you could go ahead. I can't change them anyways. I'll never sit on that table with those ladies. I never would want to. Right, to try and change them. But God, there's changing inside of here that needs to happen. Amen? And so God, help me to do that. Right? Even the way in which I process this election. Yes, I'm pretty happy. I think some of you are pretty happy about this. But we will not be the people to throw it in the face of those who voted against him. Right? It's okay to have some humor, but we are not going to mock the people who are deceived right now. Amen? And going to seek, you know, God, what is it that you want me to do? Like I said, I believe God is hearing our prayers. And there is work that needs to be done. You know, there were 10 states that had pro-abortion bills on the ballot. And seven of them approved them. Right, and so, all right, and the only reason the one in Florida wasn't approved was because you needed 60%, and they got like 57%. So, don't allow yourself to even think that, whew, we made it. No, this is the time, boots on the ground, and that we be salt and light as we can be of God's truth right here in this place, and that we will ask the Lord to do a great work. And most importantly, that we would be asking God to pour out his Spirit, that we would truly experience the revival and awakening that we need in this day. Amen? As we lift up our leaders more than anything, this is our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, as Jesus this is where we live, right? And we need to see God move with power. And we want him to do that, amen? And that's why your involvement is so important and your participation in whatever way you're able. That's why your giving is also very important. Pastor Cindy and I like to eat once in a while. Some may not realize, but our only source of income is your tithes and offerings. And if it's not there, I don't get it, you know? But God always takes care of me. I'm not stressing those kind of things. He's always taking care of us, and he's doing that fine. The whole principle behind that, just a quick little thing, is all the way back to the whole mosaic, the tabernacle and the priesthood. The offerings, they didn't just burn up all the offerings. The offerings were the food and the provisions for the Levites, the priests, right? Even then, and it's the same kind of thing that the tithes and the offerings help to provide for those whose ministry is the word. Acts chapter 6, the whole thing about that, but you know, we've never gone anywhere because they promised to pay us so much money. We just said, God, you want us to go there, you'll take care of the rest, and he's always taking care of us. But all these various ways that we offer to God, even today, you would offer to God the gifts that you have, the resources that you have, your skills, your talents, whatever it might be, for the purposes of God, and allow him to lead you in that way. and we'll see him do great things. And but the greatest thing that we could see and pray for is that God would manifest himself here in change lives right here. And in that, I'd like to show this last little video clip Cindy's found. It's probably about 6 minutes. What is it?
Six or seven
minutes. And I just want you to just believe that we're going to see God change lives like this right here. As we are concerned about this, but right here, God, we want you to move and believe that God can do this kind of stuff. So go ahead and play that.
And I remembered something. And this is a story that I haven't shared on here, and I just felt like I needed to get up and I needed to tell it. Like, I ain't having time to put makeup on or prepare for this anyway, but it needs to be told, and it's for somebody. So in 2002, in January of that year, my biological father committed suicide on my birthday, crushed me. In February, I lost custody of my daughter. In March, I lost my job. In April, I was about to be evicted from my apartment and lose my car. And I had not spoken to my parents or my family in like 6 months, and I was heavily addicted. In April, I also got pregnant from a one-time thing, and I didn't know what to do. But I remember thinking and having this overwhelming feeling like, this is not going to work. I can't have this baby. I can't even take care of myself. I've lost custody of the one child that I have. My parents don't speak to me. There is absolutely no way that this is going to work. And so I scheduled an abortion because that made sense to me. It made sense to let this child stay with Jesus, was my thinking. Let this child stay with Jesus and not bring it into my crazy life, because my life was in shambles, absolute shambles. I was so addicted. I was losing everything. I had no support because my life was a wreck. So I scheduled an abortion. And I remember a few days before the abortion was supposed to take place, I just remember falling on my knees in my apartment because I was so scared, like, what if this is the wrong decision? And I remember telling God, I was like, God, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I don't know if this is the right decision or not. Like, is this wrong? It just almost seems wrong to let this baby come into my life, to already put it at a disadvantage, or to just let it stay in heaven with you where it's beautiful and peaceful and it won't have to come into my mess of a life. I was like, but I don't know what to do, God. And so you've got to let me know something one way or the other. Like, I need to know in my heart what to do, because right now I'm mad and I'm angry and I don't want this baby. And I'm pissed off that I have this decision to make now. So, God, you've got 3 days to let me know what to do. And that was that. And I was going to work at the country club for a golf tournament. And nobody knew I was pregnant there. Nobody knew that I was struggling with this. And so I would sit at my tent, and when people would come, I would give them their drinks and we'd make small talk. And then when it would leave and I would have a moment to myself, I would just put napkins under my eyes and I would just start crying because I didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, there's a guy that comes up, and he comes up to me, and I had worked for him a couple years ago and hadn't seen him in a couple years. And he walks up to me and he gets his beer and he goes back to walk back to his golf cart, and he stops and he turns back around to come towards me. And then he stops and he goes back to his golf cart and he sits on it. And then he gets up from the golf cart and he comes over there to me and he says, Angela, I just had to tell you something. Like, I don't know if this is the right time or place to tell you this. And I almost didn't think about telling you because I just got a beer and I didn't want you to think that I don't know what I'm doing or that I'm being a hypocrite. He was just like, but I just had to let you know. He was like, I've really been praying for you lately. Like, you've just been on my heart. And when I tell you, have you ever seen Mortal Kombat? You know, where they get like this ball of energy and they just like, whoa, and they just shoot it at you. It felt like a literal ball of energy hit me right in my chest and just went out. And it felt like in that moment, God was saying, Angela, if I've put you on his heart, somebody that doesn't see you every day, somebody that hasn't seen you in years, I haven't forgotten about you. I still see you. I still know what's going on. Like, I'm working. Instantly, all the hate and all the fear and all the anger that I felt towards this baby was gone. And it was as if God was saying, Angela, when Moses stood at the Red Sea, he had no idea how he'd get across. He didn't know it was impossible. Like, he had no way to get across. All he had was, his only option was me. Angela, this is your Red Sea. Your only option right now is me. If you'll just let me work and let me do something, I'll part this Red Sea. I'll get you and this baby across. And so I just looked at him. I started crying. I was like, you have no idea how perfect your timing was. You have no idea how bad I needed to hear this. I quit. That was it. I told the guy at the country club, like, I'm going home. And I remember I got in my car and I went and sat in the parking lot at Hibbett Sports and I just wept. And I was like, okay, God, if we're going to have this baby, you need to prepare my parents' heart because I'm absolutely terrified to tell them. Like, you just have to let them know because if they freak out, I'm going to freak out. And I waited 3 days. And 3 days later, I drove up to my parents' house for the first time in 6 months or more. And I walked in and my mama looked at me and she said, Angela, what are you doing here? And I was like, I just needed to come see you. And so her and my little sister sat down at a table and we just started talking and I couldn't take anymore. And I just blurted it out. I'm pregnant. And my mom slaps the table. And she looks at my sister and she said, what did I tell you? And my sister looked at me and she said, Angela, 3 days ago, mom was sitting in her room. And I heard her just like groaning and travailing and interceding for you. And she got up and she came into my room and she said, your sister's pregnant. And she's thinking about not having this baby. And we've got to pray for them. Because God has a plan and a destiny for her and that baby. And she's thinking about ending that baby's life and we have to stop it. And she said, and we just started praying and praying. And it was at that moment that I was at the country club thinking about this abortion I'm going to have in 3 days. And at that moment when that guy, Jody, came up to me and he was just like, I've been praying for you. And when God was like, this is your Red Sea and I'm going to part it if you'll just let me. If you'll just let me take control of this situation, I can make it work. That baby is 21, almost 22 years old today. I still had a lot of work to be done on me. But God made a way for all of us. My faith was this big. I had this much. I had just an idea, just a thought that it might be possible. That God might could make a way. It was just this much. If you're in that situation and you just have just this much and you think it might be possible that God might could make a way, that it might could work out, you take that and you run with it. And you give him the opportunity to show up and show out in your life and just show you that he is a God of working the impossible. That's what he specializes in. If he'll do it for me, he can do it for you. I hope you guys are blessed and I hope you have a wonderful, beautiful day.
Let's stand. See, this is what we're after. Amen? That God would move. And I just, if there's, we as a nation are facing a Red Sea event, no doubt, because there's quite an effort to really dismantle this nation, dismantle the very fabric of this nation. As I've said before, this is not about politics whatsoever. Everything is spiritual. It goes down to the spiritual at the very core of everything, because everything else flows from our belief systems. That's what your spiritual is, and what's at stake is not a political party or something. It's the proclamation of the gospel going around the world from the United States of America. That's what the devil's after. He can drive a stake in the heart of America, then he can kill the largest missionary effort ever on the face of the earth that's happening right now from this nation. And not only can we believe that he's not going to win, we can believe that God could multiply that work even more so. And that's why we stand like we do. That's why we believe like we do. And that's why we do what we do. And for people like Angela here, we're here to see God do those things. Did you hear how prayer works, right? God moves on certain people. If you will just call to him with all your heart, he is hearing you. No matter what it might seem like, God is hearing you. He will never turn away the broken and contrite heart. He will never despise, the Bible says. And I just want to, if you're facing a Red Sea moment, especially, I would like to invite you to come up here, and then the rest, a few others, we're going to gather behind you, and we're going to pray that the Red Sea is going to part for you. Right, it might be your personal thing. It might be in your family, but I just want to invite you. Just come on. We're going to believe God's going to part that Red Sea for you if you just trust in him, like she said. So why don't you come up? I know there's got to be some out there who's going to be brave and start it. Right, honey, you come up because our extended family definitely needs the Lord. Anybody else? Come on. What kind of Red Sea moment do we need God to move? You got family, you've got all kinds of things. Just a good note about Martin. Some of you know who Martin Urias is. He's fairly new, but he had an artery replaced in his valve replaced. And he's doing pretty good, but he does have kidney issues that are kind of complicating. But we remember him. Anybody else? All right, so... Oh, yeah.
He has leukemia pretty bad. He's doing very bad right now.
Okay.
I don't know how it left him and kept him back again. And he really needs to be lifted in prayer and his family.
Right, right. Yeah, George. Pastor George. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Valley Bible Church, right? Yeah. Good. All right. So I'd like to invite you, if you're here for prayer, step up. Let's get in line. And I'd like to, anybody else, can you come behind these folks? I'd like to have some, I was just gathered behind So go ahead, just find some folks. We just really want to intercede and know that God is making a way. Amen? That he sees you right now. Just that this is that word. This is the word I got personally from somebody else. But that God sees you right where he's at. You might feel like he's far away, or you don't deserve to have him around. But he sees you and he's with you right now. And the thing that's burdening your heart, he is carrying that with you. If you'll just put your trust in him, he will be your pathway through that Red Sea, whatever it is. So you're with these people. Just go ahead, just pray. Start just praying from praying the Spirit. Pray for them. If you're there, just you want to stretch your hand out and let's just take a moment and say, God, in Jesus' name, we're just coming to you, Father God. We thank you, God, for the testimony of your victory in people's lives, the breakthrough. We thank you for this story, and there's so many others I probably could be repeated in this group of how you came through in those darkest moments of our lives. In one way or another, God, you have always been faithful, God. We don't have to understand it, but we know we sang, you are a great God. Great are you, Lord, as we sang. And Father, that right now that I pray for faith to believe, God, in those who have made this stand for it. And we think of Cindy's and my family as well. The breakthrough that would need to happen in some hearts, hard hearts that have been turned from you. Lord, in Jesus' name, we look to you and we call out to you, Father God, that you would work in upon them. You would speak to them, Lord. You would reveal to them, Lord. You would provide for them. You would bring healing to those who need healing, Lord God, and provision for those who feel like they have no way out. In Jesus' name, you're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our provider in every way, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just the comfort of the Holy Spirit be upon you. Let the comfort of the Holy Spirit be upon you. The peace of God is going to come, right? That the God of hope is going to give you joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13, Lord. We thank you, God, for that promise, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that there's a breakthrough coming for some right here. There's a breakthrough coming. It's been silent. It's been quiet. You haven't seen anything. But that breakthrough is just around the corner. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And God, we do want to lift up our nation to you. We pray for our president-elect and that you would equip him with God-fearing people of integrity for his administration, Lord Jesus. We pray for a purging of wickedness out of our government on a state and federal level. And we pray, God, for an awakening across this nation. And that we, your church, might be empowered by your Holy Spirit with your, not just your power, but also the love of Christ might truly take hold of our hearts as we engage with our very lost and needy world around us. And we thank you. We thank you, God, for hearing us. We thank you for mercy upon America. And we pray for continued and growing mercy as well. And to show us that which you called us to do and our role in this day, you might get glory and praise. You get glory and praise, Lord, from us and those around us, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.